It's Tuesday, and on Tuesdays we analyze the lyric. And what lyric are we going to be analyzing today? Well, our friends over there, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh, yeah. Haven't touched any of their catalog songs, so we're going to check out the Red Hot Chili Peppers, very famous band, obviously. And the song in question, well, their most popular, common song. Under the Bridge by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Stefan Maia with you. AddedSouls.com is my website. I labor alongside the East Coast Church of Christ. You can check out the .com as well, EastCoastChurchOfChrist.com. We have a Facebook page, East Coast Church of Christ. And you can get involved. You can support the Added Souls ministry. You sign up to AddedSouls.locals.com. And once you've signed up there, you can support. No amount is too low or too high, and you get exclusive content. Of course, this is the way I build tents, if you will, quote-unquote, as we work alongside the East Coast Church of Christ. Good stuff. And on Tuesdays, on our podcast sessions, which go from Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time, on Tuesdays, we are themed to analyze the lyric, and we take songs from the world, and we kind of look at the lyrics and revisit some memories, perhaps, good or bad, and we see what the musicians and the writers and everything involved taking place to the information of the song itself, so that it gives us a greater understanding, of course, of what's taking place. Sometimes we can grossly misinterpret songs just as bad as we do the Bible, sadly. But we do that, and sometimes we're scared of certain songs, or we don't understand them, or we feel alienated with them, or whatnot. Of course, on Tuesdays, this makes more sense if you like music like we do. So by all means, consider subscribing, liking, sharing, drop a comment. All that kind of wonderful stuff helps the Added Soul Studio move further and farther. Is that all right? The Red Hot Chili Peppers. I got into the Red Hot Chili Peppers, obviously, in the 90s somewheres, and it was with the first album. I remember purchasing it, Mother's Milk. And once I was introduced to the Red Hot Chili Peppers through Mother's Milk, when the album Blood, Sugar, Sex, Magic came out, I was like, yeah. And that song, Under the Bridge, I was like, yeah, I could identify with that. I could identify with the words and the song composition together with all musicians was just I don't know, it had something, right? You heard it and I was like, yeah, that has something to it. It has longevity. It has shelf life. It has a classic charm to it. And so, obviously, throughout the test of time, it still remains. And you can hear it on the radio. If you listen to the radio, it's a very common song. But I don't get tired of it. It's just one of those songs, again, that is memorable. And you don't get tired of hearing, for me, anyways. Of course, we're in the realm of subjectivity, but I don't think I'm the only one. A great many continue to enjoy this song. Now, I kind of left Red Hot Chili Peppers after the Blood Sugar Sex Magic album back in 91, not for any other reason than I moved on to other musical genres and receptions, but only went back to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, oh, probably just a few years ago now, and I was like, oh, wow, they continued, and they have quite the catalog, and they have a lot of awesome songs. So I've been revisiting a great many of their albums that I had missed from now today since 1991 and finding a great many gems. I don't like everything they do, but there are songs, of course, that stick out to me. Californication, Scar Tissue, and one of their latest ones a few years ago. Man, I can't remember the name now, but just really well-written songs and well-performed and they have that, what I call the mojo, the soul. It's something that you can, it has a spirit that you remember. It sticks in your thoughts. And so that's been kind of awesome. So the song in question, we're going to go to our friends once again over at songfacts.com. You can check out the website for any song meaning or history behind the song and musicians or artists or whatnots. And yeah, that's what we did. We went to songfacts.com, and I'm going to read a bit of what's taking place here in regards to Under the Bridge, and then we'll open up the lyrics and talk about the lyrics. So it says, Red Hot Chili Peppers lead singer Anthony, I can't pronounce his second name, and I'm not enough of a fan, if you will, or die-hard fan. I am a fan, don't get me wrong. I have purchased their music, but K-I-E-D-I-S, Kiedis, Anthony Kiedis. I'll say Kiedis, but if I'm completely wrong and you are of a Red Hot Chili Pepper diehard fan persuasion, please be patient with me. Suffer long at my ignorance. I am but a feeble peasant in this land and the pronunciations of various names. But Anthony Kiedis, the singer, right? The lead there. And he wrote Under the Bridge about his days as a heroin addict. And I kind of got that without even having to look into it too deeply. I, as an individual in my past life, being very checkered in various addictions to hardcore narcotics, I understand exactly what he's saying. I know the emotion, I know the sentiment, and I can visualize the lyric. So it is about heroin addiction, in which he was caught up with in his youth, and the loneliness that went with it. It's certainly a very desperate and lonely addiction. So the bridge mentioned in the song, of course, is a place where he sometimes went to buy drugs and get high. Want to get high? And he did. And he messed around with Guns N' Roses. GNR would say Mr. Brownstone. Right? After four albums of unorthodox hardcore punk, in which I was not greatly involved with that, I have seen a few of their songs. I think MTV would play, or over here, we, with Much Music, would have one of their videos from one of those albums where it was hardcore punk or hardcore funk, if you will, with a bit of like hip-hop nuance to it. So after four albums of unorthodox hardcore funk, Red Hot Chili Peppers landed a huge hit with the ballad Under the Bridge, which was not at all typical of their sound. And that is true. I remember it was like, oh, this is a bit different from Mother's Milk, if you will. And Mother's Milk did give some hints of perhaps being able to pull off a song like Under the Bridge, but nothing that I thought would really match the necessity of what Under the Bridge took. And they pulled it off because they're a great band. They're good musicians, as crazy as they are and fueled in their heathen pagan ways with addictions. They're good musicians, and many of them are. In the music world, many of them are, of course, sadly slaves to their addictions. And that is the way of the flesh, as Gojira would write in their album. And it's a great album. But they are good musicians. They are talented. Some of us can actually play music, even if we come from the streets, right? So, Peppers landed a huge hit with the ballad Under the Bridge, which was not at all typical of their sound. The song went all the way to number 2 on the Hot 100. Behind Jump by Crisscross, if you remember that one. Jump, jump, and they have their pants upside down. It was a big thing in the 90s, and I had already entered into the hip-hop genre, I think in 88, around that time, and it was not popular at all. It was not even known over here in these shores. It was very limited, and I brought that wave over here as my first expertise or area of business was as a DJ. Bit of an excursion there, but back to the song facts information. The song went to number 2, okay, and got on playlist with the likes of Celine Dion and Michael Bolton, which are huge, huge selling artists. It remains their biggest hit, Under the Bridge. But they've made so many other, tremendous songs to me. I can take Californication and Scar Tissue and put it with Under the Bridge. Now Under the Bridge might be, 8.6, 8.7. The others may be like in the 8.2, 8.3, but they're in the 8 sphere for sure. And someone out there is saying, well, Stefan, what would you put in the nine? We'll have another one on another day for that one. The song was particularly challenging for Kiedis to sing during the Blood Sugar Sex Magik tour, but the Chili Peppers became comfortable with the sound and followed up with more slower singles like Soul to Squeeze and Breaking the Girl. I really like Breaking the Girl. Twisting and turning, you're feeling her burning, you're breaking the girl. And that was again on Blood Sugar Sex Magik. It didn't feel like a sellout because these songs were all very heartfelt. They were real. There were real accounts, and that's when you know sometimes a lot of people, fan bases, they can get aggravated and rebuke the bands for daring to go outside the genre in which we embrace them with, and at times it's credible. How dare they? But at times we don't, or if we do, we shouldn't, because it's genuine, it's real, it's authentic, it's true. I think that in any field is important. For us who minister, for us who teach and preach the scriptures, those of us who have truly lived in life and been through a great many things, we have an authenticity and genuineness to ourselves. Some sadly are capable of masquerading themselves and pretending or acting, if you will, but some of us truly genuinely have this passion. We speak the truth from who we are and the damage we've gone through, if you will. And musicians have been through similar things. I've written songs. I practice songs that come from real life moments, real life things you live through. So when Under the Bridge was written and released to the world, I knew it was real. You could sense that. It made sense to the band, and it was definitely heartfelt. So it says it didn't feel like a sellout because these songs were all very heartfelt, just a lot more vulnerable than their previous work is all. So this song was originally just a poem that Anthony wrote, okay, the lead singer there. He didn't write it for the Chili Peppers, mind you. It was a very personal poem that he thought he might use somewhere else. Interesting, isn't it? Their producer, if you're in the music world, you understand who this name is, Rick Rubin, Beastie Boys, and a whole bunch of others. Their producer, Rick Rubin, found it in one of his notebooks and told Anthony that it could be a great, you know, could be a great song. You got something here. At first, Anthony didn't want to sing it or share it with anyone, but he eventually came around. Now, Rubin recalled to Newsweek in a 2013 interview, quote, "My thinking was that the Chili Peppers were not limited to being a funk band with rapping. And I remember Anthony was embarrassed to show the song to the other guys in the band. But he sang it to John, the guitarist, and John came up with his part. Then he played it for Flea, the bassist, and Flea came up with his part. And it ended up being a really good song, even though they didn't realize how good it was until people started responding to it, of course. The band got a headlining slot on the 92 Lollapalooza tour when this song became a hit, and the gig greatly expanded their fan base and showcased their skills as a very energetic live band. But beneath the surface, all was not well. The band was burned out and feuding. John quit in the middle of the tour, and their bass player, Flea, crashed hard when they finally got off the road in October 92. They took some time to recuperate, Flea kicked his drug habit, and returned in 95 with the album One Hot Minute. In the song, of course, The City of Angels, we, most of us, understand exactly what that means. It means Los Angeles, where he lived, of course, since he was 12 years old, and much of the song deals with his relationship in the city, with the city. It, quoting now, "It really repulses me these days," end quote. He told Goldmine in 96, quote, "Just sucking in the toxic cloud of hellish smog every day that I live. Not a pleasant thought, but I do have a strong family tie to that city that I'll probably never be able to sever." And the article continues with a bit more information in regards to the singer, the song, and all those things over at songfacts.com. So we're going to make our way over to the lyrics now and have a discussion, you and I, as we analyze what's taking place here within the mind of this individual. And it begins and it says, "Sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner." Well, that's because his partner died of a drug overdose. So you can see how he would put that in the song there and how it would be indeed heartfelt. As one of the first things that came to his mind as he wrote this at the time as a poem. And I can understand that. I've lost a dear friend of mine way back in the day. I've lost several to various reasons, but the first one was a close one, and it was very dear to my heart. And the drugs were involved, obviously, but it wasn't an overdose or anything. He got shot, but it is what it is. And so you feel that, you know, you can understand that when you lose a friend like that, it hurts. And so he would open up that vulnerability in his heart in regards to a friend he lost. "Sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner," because when you're so close to someone, you're always hanging out with them, and you go through many experiences, and you're getting high with them, right? You're going to this, that, and the other. You're creating. There's a camaraderie there. There's a bond. It's strong. You know, it's strong. And when that friend is gone because of death, you feel empty a bit. You know, you feel a void there, and you can express that musically. Is how we do it for those of us who like music like we do. So sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner. Sometimes I feel like my only friend is the city I live in, the city of angels. Lonely as I am, together we cry. So there's this relationship taking place with the city. And it is, of course, a heavy thought in the process of having to deal with the loss of a friend. But the connection is still there because me and my friend, we were in the city, and the city has life. It breathes. It's thumping. It is indeed filled with its ups and downs, its goods, its bads. And we happen to be on the bad side of town, on the wrong side of the tracks. And when you're found in these lowly locations, you have crime, you have prostitution, you have deep drug addiction, broken families, and all that kind of stuff. But there's, again, I can't explain it to those of you who have never gone through those moments or lived in that life, but there is a comfort under the wing of a dragon. It is a strange deception that is enchanted upon us, which we embrace, sadly. And it is all for, of course, the pleasure of the flesh, which snares us into a comfort that is truly chaos, disorderly. So sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner. He's lost his friend to drug overdose. He himself is addicted to heroin. Sometimes I feel like my only friend is the city I live in, the city of angels, Los Angeles. Lonely as I am, together we cry. So the city makes up for the loss, but it's not the same. Yet there's a familiar scent in the air in the city, and the familiar faces and places and stuff like that. It's deep, you know, it goes deep. I drive on her streets 'cause she's my companion. I walk through her hills 'cause she knows who I am. She sees my good deeds and she kisses me windy. Well, I never worry. Now that is a lie. So there's again this, charm. I still remember when we were young and experiencing and getting high on various drugs and walking about as the youth in rebellion we were in the locations we grew up in. Still to this day, if I go visit those old stomping grounds, I get those waves, those winds that blow a familiar wind, I suppose. And it is indeed a lie, obviously, because it charms you back into a location where you've since left. and you no longer want to be found in. It's strange. You would have, again, to have lived addiction to that end, and many haven't. It's not that they can't understand the information, if you will. We can read the Proverbs, but until you've lived through the Proverbs, it's not as deep, and that's okay. You don't need to go ahead and live in sin and almost lose your life in order to somehow be more faithful. If I could have lived life without having gone through what I've gone through, I would. I would. I would much rather live my life today void of the deep scars that are found in addiction and the many experiences we had. They were pleasurable, they were memorable, but they will forever haunt me now with night terrors and deep depressions and things of that nature. And sadly, because of those things, you can be taken advantage of. And I know what that's all about. You know, I've had individuals pretending to be my friends and for many years just to take advantage of me. And they got in through those kind of venues, knowing what my weaknesses were and all of those things may not have taken place if I would have never chosen to go to those locations in my past life that I lived in my past life, if you will. So I can understand the lyric, and many of us do. He's speaking these things in all of its branches in regards to where he was at. And me and some of you, we kind of grew up in that era, right? We were the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s kids. And that's what's up. So he says, I drive on her streets because she's my companion. Who? Los Angeles. He's lonely, but he's together with her, Los Angeles, right? I walk through her hills, the landscape, right? Because she knows who I am. It's familiar. Again, addiction is, it stamps a certain smell. You remember the smell of the city or the location where you're participating in these activities. And it's the colors, even when the sun's shining upon it, or even when it's raining, everything is memorable. What is commonly called as a flashback, you flash back to those things when you enter into those categories. And he says, she sees my good deeds, and she kisses me windy. Well, I never worry. Now, that is a lie. Again, it's this self-deception and the manipulation that comes across with the delusional state and the myth we live in our addictions. It's a dangerous location, obviously, because it'll take our life. And most of us don't make it out. I myself am an exception to the rule. There are only a few of us like that. Then he continues and he says, I don't ever want to feel like I did that day. But take me to the place I love. Take me all the way. I don't ever want to feel like I did that day. But take me to the place I love. Take me all the way. I don't ever want to feel like I did that day. That song would play everywhere. So we'd have parties at the beach. We'd have house parties everywhere. As young kids, again, rebellious. Young, rebellious kids we were. We just partied. Hundreds, thousands sometimes of kids all over the place. High on everything. Magic mushrooms, LSD, some on harder stuff, if you will, alcohol, all of that. We were little heathens running around, and these songs would play and charm our thoughts as we experienced breaking through to the other side, as Jim Morrison would so explain. I don't ever want to feel like I did that day. The loss of a friend, the deep burden of knowing you're addicted to hardcore narcotics. It's almost an insufferable emotion, and it's deep and it's rooted strongly if you've been in it for so long that you just can't leave it, and it's just you feel trapped. Why do you think they call it the trap? The Trap House. Some of you know exactly what I'm saying. Some of you don't. That's okay. The Trap House is indeed called a trap for a reason. And, you know, you're just caught up in there. But again, it's the comfort under the wing of a dragon you constantly chase. You want that pleasure. You want that escape. No worries, right? For a little while, you escape out into the poppy fields. But take me to the place I love. Take me all the way. I don't want to just go midway there. And then you don't get the fix. I didn't get my fix. You're always climbing there, you know. I don't want to ever feel like I did that day, so that's the bad. But take me to the place I love. Take me all the way. That's the good, and it's a fight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Continues, and he says, it's hard to believe that there's nobody out there. It's hard to believe that I'm all alone. At least I have her love, Los Angeles, the city. She loves me. Lonely as I am, together we cry. I know what that is. I know what that feels like. Many of us do, in our loneliness. Who is our friend? Well, the city lights, the bridges, the locations we go and get high and have these moments as kids. Foolish kids. We should have listened to mom and dad, right? And some of us, again, our parents never did these things. They didn't want us to get involved with these things. But mom and dad worked around the clock to pay the bills, pay the mortgage. And we kids, we congregated outside in the streets. And, I mean, put it this way. Mom and dad say, no, you shouldn't do drugs. You shouldn't get involved with bad people. You shouldn't drink alcohol. You shouldn't do this, that, and the other. And they tell us that for an hour in the week. But all the other hours found in the week, we're out there. We're with family members that do participate and indulge in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And community kids involved with that same kind of thing, we went ahead and did that. And I wish we didn't, but we did. Now we got to live with those scars. And he continues and he says, I don't ever want to feel, again, repeating that. I don't ever want to feel like I did that day, but take me to the place I love. Take me all the way. Take me all the way. And then that continues. Under the bridge downtown is where I drew some blood. Right? Under the bridge downtown, I could not get enough. Under the bridge downtown, forgot about my love. Under the bridge downtown, I gave my life away. Yeah, yeah, I gave my life away. Drowning the pain in addiction is certainly a real thing. Man, I've done that for decades. Why do you get high? Why do you feel the need to get high? Because I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to have the memories of those I've lost to the very same pain. You know, it's so strange, this fallen world and its dark ways. You lose family members and friends to murder and drug addiction and alcoholism and all those things, right? And you're like, but I love them and I miss them because I used to get high with them and I used to be there all the time with them. We were together all the time. Like, I mean, all the time for decades. And then you got to say bye. Well, I'm not going to get high now because I I miss them, right? It's such a strange and toxic, how should I say, spiral downward. That I thank Jesus. I thank God, man. Oof. If it wasn't for God, we'd all be dead there. I thank God that we didn't die there. He called us out. He did call us out, and we follow Jesus, and he heals us away from those things, right? But the song is memorable, and it stays with you. And it's not the only one like that. There are some that are very strong in that element, and it says something. It's where I drew some blood. Christ shed blood for our spiritual well-being. Jesus died on a cross for you and I. He shed that blood for you and I. That blood washes our sins. We don't need to live in our sins anymore. Drug addiction, heroin, it demands our blood. Pagan gods, heathen gods that we worshiped as Gentiles, they want our blood. They seek our blood. But Jesus, he gave his blood. Under the bridge downtown is where I drew some blood. And under the bridge is where you hide, right? Well, of course. You got to hide there. We used to hide there, get high. Under the bridge downtown, I could not get enough. Under the bridge downtown, forgot about my love. I forgot about the pain. I forgot about all that nonsense, man. I'm just going to float around for a while. Problem is, problem comes back. Twofold. So the problem comes back twofold. Now you got to take more. Now you got to take more to forget twofold problems. And guess what happens when you wake up from the nod? Problems have quadrupled. So now you got to take more drugs to get rid of the quadrupleness of the problems. And well, you can see where this goes. You die. That's how this all ends. You die. Under the bridge downtown, I gave my life away. That's the exchange. And when you know within the Bible, it says that there's a paycheck to sin. It's death. It's an exchange. You give your life to sin, and sin demands it. That's it. You got to give your life to sin. Sin takes it. You die. That's how that is. So it is indeed a very somber and true reality of drug addiction, beautifully, poetically written, and I'm very happy they released it, because it's real for those of us who understand it, of course. It's very real indeed. I listen to the song still today, and I find a great many memories, but not as a trigger. We've learned, of course, through self-control, and being healed by the power of the scriptures, the New Testament words. When you read them, you meditate upon them, you study them, you believe them, you act upon them. We no longer need to be under the bridge. We no longer need to draw blood. We no longer need to be found where the only friend we have is the city. We have a friend in Jesus, and all who love Jesus, we are friends with. And we don't need to draw blood anymore, right? For some, today is the first day of their sobriety. For some of us, we're a decade strong. And for others, several decades. You fall off the wagon sometimes. You pick yourself up. You don't give up. You try again. It's a hard one. Addiction is a hard one. I have a series study, of course, that I have presented several times in the past. It is in regards to addiction and how to conquer addiction and how to understand it and how to conquer it. One day I might go ahead and do them again. It's been a while, but yeah, that's the gist of it. That's the end of it. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Under the Bridge. If you find substance in these things, by all means, consider subscribing, following, liking, sharing, drop a comment. That really helps the Added Soul Studio move forward and reach other people out there just like you and I who may find great interest and a benefit to our lives and our faith. Please consider supporting it. That's how I make a living. If you find any worth in it, sign up to addedsouls.locals.com. You can support the Added Souls Ministry through the Maya family, me, my wife, my kiddos, and this studio as we labor alongside the East Coast Church of Christ over here in New Brunswick, Canada. We're born and raised over here. We understand the culture. We understand how it works. And we have a beautiful, growing church, our Lord's Church, the Church of Christ. We had renewals. We've having baptisms. We have repeat visitors. We have Bible studies each week. It's just a really loving, kind, and united congregation that's available to you if you're over here and you want to find that peaceful family. We're disenfranchised with denominationalism and organized religions that are contradictory to what we can read in the Bible. We just want to be equal together and friends, and we want the truth. We want to change. We want to change for the better, and we want to help each other. And so if you do want that strength, if you want to tap into that, by all means, reach out to us. We'd be more than willing to have a conversation with you if you're in the Maritimes. That all right? That good? Stay focused. Stay positive. Reach out to me again for any concerns or questions you might have. We can have a video chat. We can have a phone call. We can exchange emails or whatever, all that kind of good stuff. Tomorrow, Lord willing, 10 a.m. That's what we do weekdays, 10 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time. Tomorrow is our Bible study session. We're in the book of Genesis, and we've been looking at Joseph there and his brothers and his bondage in Egypt and all those things taking place. So if you can be with us, by all means, do so. Good stuff. Peace out.